everybody get ready for Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. A foodie born and bred, my wife Nikki loves chatting up chefs, dining out, and insider industry buzz.
And my husband David thinks a great meal is nothing but a good burger, a frosty brew, and a check for under $20. Because he is cheap.
Well, maybe so, but Foodie married Beast anyway, and together we've got the food and wine variety show that has everyone talking.
It's Foodie and the Beast, and we are on now.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis on this beautiful day before Snowmageddon 94 is about to happen.
I don't think it's going to be.
It's, what is this, Super Weed Weekend, I guess, with Denver versus Seattle. We got a great show, and weed will come up again later on.
Won't we, kids? Yes, it will.
So we've got a terrific lineup. The legendary Ruth Gresser is with us of the equally as legendary Pizzeria Paradiso.
Yes.
I remember, well, I have stories. She's got a new cookbook out. It's oddly enough entitled Pizza. I don't know where you came up with that. And she's in with some good taste and some tasty hands-on tips for making great pizzas at home.
Mm-hmm. I think we're all set for our Super Bowl party today. We have all these gorgeous pizzas in studio.
All right. And the folks from Joe's Seafood are in town. It's the proper name is Joe's Seafood Prime Steak and Stone Crab Restaurant.
That is correct.
It is a mouthful.
And that's
mouthful.
What you get there. If you've been to their place in Miami, you already know the story. It's a Miami legend. They're in Chicago. They're in Vegas. And now they opened 2 days ago here. And they're crushing it already, right?
We've had a couple good opening nights.
Everybody's excellent. Been there so far, but God.
But we're going to get a 411. We're going to learn all about stone crabs.
Gary Bach is with us, and Mike Rotolo. Is it Rotolo or Rotolo? How are we pronouncing it? All'Italiano?
Right, the proper pronunciation.
Rotolo. Accidenti. Okay. And they're in. They brought food, and we're going to talk about
stone crabs.
We're going to talk about all that stuff.
And pie.
And pie.
Gorgeous apple pie. I saw it.
And pie.
Okay, and later in the show, we have Chef Enzo Fargioni back in studio with us.
Our old buddy.
He is an old friend of the show, and he has also just released a brand new book called Visual Eats. It's a whole look at behind the scenes of modern Italian cooking, which he is a pro at.
That's it. I'm doing a cookbook. Everybody in the world's done one but me.
And what would you possibly do it about?
I don't know.
Nothing. Like bologna sandwiches, something really exciting.
Don't you think they deserve their chance
no,
in the spotlight?
No, I don't. Yeah. I think they get plenty. Yeah. They have a whole commercial.
I don't eat bologna because I don't eat pig anymore. How about
that's
that?
Right. I so forgot. There. Did anybody bring any pig today? Because he's not eating it now.
That's it. I'm
starting
off
last
it.
Sunday. Just pig. Whatever. Okay. So, and lastly, our good buddy, Michael Holstein, is in studio with us. He is the guy behind Quench up in Rockville. Right, Rockville?
Yeah, Rockville, North Potomac, Gaithersburg.
Right, call it whatever you want.
All of them. Three locations.
He produces TV shows. He's you're an entertainment attorney.
That's true.
You're not entertaining, but you're an entertainment attorney.
You've got a long list.
Both of those things are true.
You got a very long list. And he's brought in with him his new chef, Ed Hardy.
Yeah, Ed joined us about a month ago from most recently Bistro Vivant in McLean. But prior to that, a bunch of nice places in New York City where he worked with... Union Square Hospitality Group, and with Marcus Samuelson.
And who? Oh, yeah, him.
That guy.
Right,
hack.
That guy.
A hack.
Yeah.
But we're very happy to have Ed.
And Matt Allred is the head bartender there. He's got a Johnny Depp lookalike thing going there.
I try my best.
That's
okay,
right.
Very good.
I bet you do fine.
Okay, so Ed, get him on up to the mic. So you just joined Quench 3 weeks ago. How do you come into the restaurant and sort of make over the menu and make it yours?
Well, first you get over your New Year's Eve hangover.
Okay, that's a good start.
And then by then it's the end of January.
Okay, hey, way to do it.
So, you know, I've just been operating on just kind of, you know, muscle memory,
fumes.
Basically.
Okay.
But it was easy transition. Michael's easy to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And
ha!
It's a great small place. Yeah, I heard that. it's a fantastic place to work. I've been in many restaurants, but this is rapidly becoming my favorite.
Okay.
What
are you doing? Let's talk about specifics. Like, what's going on the menu? What are the kinds of things you're
putting
on there?
You've got marijuana brownies or something.
Right.
I brought in some of our new pot brownies that we're experimenting with.
And what does that really mean? I mean, we get the look, but tell us what it really means.
These are rosemary sage brownies.
Okay. Very cool.
Double fudge. They get a little coffee icing on it, a little selgri on top.
Mm-hmm.
And I've smoked the rim of the glass that it's served in, but also the bowl that goes underneath it.
Okay.
And so if you lift up, and apparently I can't light up in the studio.
No, I know. It's not horrible. We're terrible.
But so
blame Andy. It's all Andy's fault.
Unless you want to shower.
And using a proprietary method that I will not reveal at this point.
Okay.
Normally, applewood won't burn unless you're actively applying flame to it. I figured out a way to make it behave just like a joint would.
Neat.
So I've got some nice fatties
Look
here.
Look how far we've come.
I know. We're going to be doing a demo after studio. All right.
And nobody in here is tisking. They're all going, yeah, man.
That's cool. Light up. That's cool, Andy baby. Says. Let's do it.
So you light these up, and they burn applewood smoke. And then I smoke the bowl underneath, and you can lift it up, and the smoke goes in the customer's face. But also, I've got a convenient roach clip. And so the burning applewood joint comes to the table, and I told my first customer last night, try to think like you're Bill Clinton. Do not inhale.
Well, I was going to say that is a page out of Enzo Fargioni's book, who does the cigar box at the table. He's been doing that for a long time. So it's similar in a way to kind of concept. He'll explain later.
All right. So what you guys are also pouring drinks. What are you pouring first?
Yep, Matt, what do you got?
Okay. Today we're starting with a hot buttered rum. It's a pretty basic recipe. Starting with boiling down some ice cream, vanilla, and lots of sugar and some cream. Mm-hmm. We're gonna spike it with hot buttered rum and put some whipped cream on top. Pretty straightforward.
It sounds like what do they serve at Harry Potter Land and
Disney? That butter beer.
Same thing, except better.
It doesn't sound anything like
it
that.
It is delicious. Okay. I only brought 8, so you guys can fight over it.
Okay, great.
All right, fire away. All right, well then let's talk to Ruth Gresser because you.
I've been sitting here quietly.
Yes, you've been sitting here really nice and quiet.
And
wheat brownies.
Right. I mean, really, way back when pretty much the only other restaurant downtown was Duke's and the Palm. Pizzeria Paradiso opened
in DuPont Circle,
and it was a home run then, and still. So why don't you tell us a little about the story?
Hey, shh, shh, shh,
shh. The rest of you, the rest of the class should be quiet.
Right.
Yes, tell us your story.
So we did. We opened in 1991, which seems like a long time ago now.
Mm-hmm.
It was a long time ago. It shouldn't seem like it. It was.
It was a couple years after I moved to D.C., and I had been working in high-end restaurants. And was getting a little tired of that and wanted to do something a little more accessible, a little more casual.
So were you did you go to culinary school or any of that stuff? Or you were...
I've worked at my entire professional career. You want to know where it started?
Mm-hmm.
McDonald's as a teenager.
I see.
So,
Do you want fries with that?
No, I wasn't the cashier. Okay. I was in the back cooking,
cooking,
which was very unusual in the 70s for a girl. But anyway... So I cooked all through, my teens through college. And then, I moved to San Francisco in the early 80s, which was where, the new American food movement started in California. So, from there I became introduced to, Chef Madeline Kamen, and I did work with her for a year. So she took the beginning and refined it.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, I moved to Washington, D.C. to take a job that she had placed me in. And I worked here for a few years.
Now, where was that?
That was at Le Pavillon.
Oh, huh? Sure.
So, yeah, we're going back, right?
We're going back.
Janet Cam and
right?
Yannick.
Right?
Yannick.
And then, in the early 90s, I sort of shifted gears. And there wasn't... there wasn't a restaurant that was focused on Neapolitan pizzas, Italian.
Anywhere.
In D.C. No.
Nowhere.
No. I mean, which you wouldn't believe given what there is now.
Today. No,
so,
of course.
I'm the matriarch of pizza.
You are.
Washington, D.C. Sitting right here.
So tell us why pizza and how you got into it. I mean, it was a weird thing. Not weird, but because there was no offering like it, especially
right.
this style of pizza.
Yep.
It was happening around the country, but it was not happening here.
Right.
How did you get training? Like, how did you get started?
And shouldn't we pass some of this around
yes,
so
absolutely.
Everybody can have some pizza?
I know. Which one should I...
So,
what's that one that he's pushing away from me?
This is asparagus, tarragon...
Okay.
Chopped fresh tomatoes and lemon zest.
It's beautiful.
And then the one that you have in your hand there is our Super Bowl pizza, which is also in the book.
Celery, carrots. What
yeah, it's a blue cheese sauce on the side, but it's got a buffalo sauce base.
Beautiful. And this one?
And that one is chickpeas with feta cheese, and then it's got a little sort of raita on the side.
Now, how would I go with hot buttered rum?
I'm not sure which one you should have with the hot buttered rum.
Ooh.
Maybe the one with the berries over there.
I would think it might be the yes. Go with the sweet dessert one.
This one is really. This is the, really, this is the prettiest pizza I think I've ever
seen. Isn't that gorgeous?
Right. Pass it over to the chef.
So tell us, Ruth. So how did you get your hands into the dough? I mean, where did you get started with that?
I've always liked making dough, where I was working at the time was an Italian restaurant. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. And we would make, you know, family meal. We'd make pizza.
Okay.
So and we made all the bread there and everything. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of dough making at the time. Mm. I taught myself. I developed this recipe, and it's been the recipe.
Since the beginning.
One of these actually has a, it's the buffalo one. Mm-hmm. The chicken one has whole wheat crust, which we also offer at the restaurant. We started that far into it, but the white crust and the crust that's in the book is the Paradiso dough.
You know, I have a background in pizza as well, and I will share war stories.
Okay.
Did you work at Pizza Hut like I did?
No, I ran a pizza and sub shop in Amherst, Massachusetts for 3 years and invented pizzas. So there.
All right. Well, I have a lot to, you know.
I got
to
get me a cookbook. I'm telling you.
So, All right. Well, let's just talk about cooking pizza at home. Nobody cares what you have to say. Pizza at home. Hmm. I think for some people, cooking pizza at home is intimidating. Right. Not necessarily making the dough, but, you know, we don't have those high-powered ovens. Mm-hmm. So I loved your book because I think it really walked you through it. But let's just talk about what people need first in their home in order to create a pizza.
Not much, frankly. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's much simpler. I mean, pizza is a pretty simple food. It can get complex depending on what you do with it. Mm-hmm. But in terms of making the dough, I like making the dough at home just on the countertop. And the only tool you need is a pastry scraper to make it a little bit easier.
Okay.
I mix it the dough with my fingers. Mm-hmm. The whole thing is very, very simple.
Well, and what about oven heat? Because I think that's the concern.
So then cooking the pizza, my book is based on the idea that most people have broilers.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's a top mounted broiler or a drawer broiler, that's the heat source that I use.
Okay.
So that's the method of getting your oven as hot as you possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
And if
you know, you're not baking, you're broiling a pizza?
You're gonna broil it. Yeah. You're gonna preheat.
Think about how hot a pizza oven is.
You're gonna preheat.
Or a wood fire.
Right.
Pizza oven's about 650 degrees, right?
Well, that's where we cook ours.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Right.
Thank you.
Because you read your book.
Yeah.
My entire college education.
And a lot of it has to do with how much moisture is in the dough.
Okay.
So we can cook our pizza at about 650. You can cook pizza up to like 900 degrees.
Okay.
Nobody can get their home oven that hot, obviously.
Right.
But you can get your oven higher than 550 generally if you use the broiler.
Okay.
But even still, like we can cook it. Our pizzas will cook in 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
At home, they cook in 10. But the preheating and the first minute or so that the pizza's in the oven, it's on broil.
Okay, we have to take a quick break. Mm-hmm. But right before we do, what about a pizza stone? Do you absolutely have to have one?
It helps.
It does?
Yeah.
What does it do?
It holds the heat so that as your broiler's cooking it from the top,
it's
your stone is cooking from the bottom.
That makes sense. Yeah. Okay, great. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We are talking pizzas with Ruth Gresser, but soon we're going to be talking stone crabs.
Stocking stone crabs.
We'll be stocking them.
I'll
be back
them.
In just a sec.
Are you in the Metro DC area looking for something free to do with the family? Visit usarmyband.com to see what the United States Army Band has on tap. With weekly concerts, chamber music recitals, and educational workshops that are sure to entertain and inspire any music lover. And all performances are free. Get out, enjoy the music, and rest assured you'll leave feeling good about the flag. Visit usarmyband.com. That's usarmyband.com. You can also follow them on Facebook at facebook.com/USArmyBand.
I am for the child who's had 7 addresses in a single year because she's in foster care, because her father abused her, and because her mother couldn't believe her. I am for her, the child who no longer believes in others or believes in herself. I am for that child, so I am there for that child. To listen to her, to speak for her, to champion without compromise for what's in her best interest. Because if I am, she will be half as likely to languish in foster care, and that much more likely to find a safe, permanent home. That is the child I am for. I am a volunteer child advocate. I am you.
Lift up a child's voice, a child's life. Get involved at CASAForChildren.org.
This is Mark Amtower. If you're looking for cost-effective and efficient methods for marketing your products or services to the government or to other government contractors, look to LinkedIn. There are over 400,000 members in the D.C. area and more than 92 million nationwide, but only a small percentage actually use it well. I can show you how to leverage LinkedIn in ways that support your marketing, sales, and business development efforts. I do this for large and small companies, and I can do it for you. Drop me a line at mark@federaldirect.net.
GovEvents.com is your one-stop shop for government and military events worldwide. With hundreds of event organizers posting their government and military-related conferences, trade shows, expos, webcasts, and more, you'll save time and energy using GovEvents to find events to attend, exhibit, or sponsor. Search for government and military events by date, location, keyword, organizer, or focus. It's free, so join today. GovEvents.com. That's GovEvents.com.
You're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. We're looking at this horn of plenty of food in front of us. And Ruth Gresser's with us. She is the genius behind Pizzeria Paradiso and a new cookbook called Pizza, which is going to help you make great pizzas at home. And we're kind of in the middle of this. You want to talk dough? Because if we're going to make
pizza. Well, we were talking doughs and ovens, but... let's just talk a little bit about sauces and toppings.
So let me talk specifically about the book.
Right.
Because the book is set up to cover everything. Mm-hmm. The first part of it gives all the background, all the information about how to do it. Mm-hmm. And then we go into a chapter that's totally about pizza as we kind of, the iconic pizza of tomato
classic.
And cheese. So, but in that we have all different kinds of dough, all different sauces, but based on tomato. And then from there, I go into some Italian classics and then the Paradiso standards from the menu. And after that, the second half of the book is about various different sauces. There's red pepper sauce. There's a garlic, an elephant garlic pesto. There's a salsa verde, which is lemon, artichoke, and parsley kind of pesto.
Does the heat change any of those? I mean, when you're at a high heat and you're talking about lemon, you know, I mean, what happens there?
The biggest thing that the heat has to do with is the dough, is actually cooking the dough through. The toppings are more about the quantity of toppings that you use than what the toppings are. But each topping needs to be treated appropriately. So some things are pre-cooked, some things aren't.
Right. You know? Like you can't expect a whole chicken to cook on top of a
pizza. Right. Like the chicken pizza that we have here, the chicken was pre-cooked before it went on. But the asparagus is thinly sliced asparagus. You don't have to pre-cook it.
Okay.
So we go from sauces into proteins, and I have a tofu pizza. I have a chickpea pizza.
The chickpea one is here. Delicious.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your gluten-free crust.
Sure.
I mean, given all the dietary restrictions that are out there these days, how did you come up with the gluten-free crust?
So we started probably working on the gluten-free crust a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a process for me to understand what I needed or to know what I needed to know in order to develop it.
Mm-hmm.
But the pizza that's in the book is it's almost like a... It has a little bit of a pita kind of quality to it.
Okay.
So it's not, you know, it doesn't replicate our dough.
Right.
But the one thing that I did add to the dough is buckwheat flour, because our dough is kind of rustic, and since we were going to serve this pizza crust at the restaurant, I wanted it to have some relationship to what we do at the restaurant, and so that was my way of making it a little bit more rustic and not. I didn't want like a white flour, the equivalent of white flour dough.
Right.
But it's a yeast-based dough.
It still has that chewy texture.
It's not chewy.
Okay.
It isn't chewy, but the complaint that most people have about gluten-free is that it's very grainy.
Mm-hmm.
And ours, we've successfully avoided that problem.
So now that you have your new book, tell everybody where they can find you, because I know you're doing some book signings and some events. Let's talk about that a little bit.
So this week is our launch week at the restaurants. So we have a deal going where if you buy the book, you get a $10 pizza and beer deal with it.
Okay.
That's a crafty way of selling books.
Isn't that a good way?
Yeah, I like that.
So I'm going to be at DuPont Circle this Wednesday, Georgetown Restaurant on Thursday, and Old Town on Friday. So I can sign books if people come by.
Great.
And they're interested.
What about online? Also, can we find it?
You can go to our website, and there's a link to buy the book. The other thing I want to tell you about is next week on the 12th, we're doing an event with the Hurech House, the old Brewmaster's Castle, because, you know, we have a big beer program.
Huge beer program.
And so we're going to do book signings, pizza demonstration, and beers from DC Brow, Stillwater, and Oxbow.
Cool.
And cider from Millstone. So we're real excited about that.
That's
okay.
Thanks,
Ruth.
Thank you. Thank you so much for coming in.
Well,
thank
now
you.
We're going to roll off a pizza and onto stone crabs and more. We've got the guys from the brand new Joe's Seafood Prime Steak and Stone Crab Restaurant.
I hate to interrupt you.
What?
But I'm going to, because you forgot to go back to Quench.
Did I?
You did.
I'll bet I didn't.
Oh, would you put them later?
Yes, I did.
Oh,
so
okay.
Now all of America knows my wife is wrong. We'll be back to you. And which I love. So let's talk about this. You guys, you've got this world famous restaurant in Miami. You've got restaurants in Chicago and Vegas. You came to D.C. and you're already blowing it out. Mike, why don't you get up to a microphone too here? Mike Rotolo, who's the COO, and well, I like my Italian.
he does.
COO and managing partner. Why don't you guys? What's the Joe's story? How did all this get started?
It's actually started with a friendship between Rich Melman, who's the founder of Let Us Entertain You, and Joanne Bass, who's the third generation proprietor of Joe's Stone Crab in Miami. They're actually on their fourth generation now. Steven Sawitz, her son, is running the restaurant. And we just celebrated our 100th anniversary in October.
Thank God.
It's amazing.
I think I was there at the opening.
yeah.
I remember, vaguely.
So at any rate, a friendship that just grew over the years. Rich Melman spent a lot of time growing up in Miami and had an affinity for Joe Stone Crab, and just a relationship that evolved over the years. And I think, you know, Rich, you know, being a restaurateur and a very prolific one, I think always kind of nudged at them and said, hey, if you ever think about, you know, doing another one. And they always said, Richard, you know, nah, you're crazy, you know. And then all of a sudden, I think it was in the late 90s, they actually got interested in the idea. So we agreed to do a restaurant, and because the majority of our restaurants are in Chicago, we decided to do the first there. It's kind of got a long name, Seafood Prime Steak and Stone Crab.
Why change it? Can I ask? Why change it from what its original conception was?
Well, you know, Joe's Stone Crab being such an iconic restaurant,
right?
You really can't duplicate, you know, a legendary restaurant like that. So that was kind of always, I think, in the back of our minds. Truth of the matter is, Rich got off the plane in January having just consummated this deal and said, wow, you know, how do I think Chicagoans are going to react to an entree that's served chilled in the middle of winter up here in Chicago? A little
good
different
point.
In Miami, 70 degrees,
beach,
cold crab,
warm,
Joe's
know,
hot soup,
warm tubs.
Those names weren't sounding
right?
So.
Right. Yeah. So Chicago being such a steakhouse town, Rich's first inclination was we got to have great steaks. So we worked with one of the top butchers in Chicago to develop a really unique prime steak program. Then once we got down that road, we realized, wow, there's a lot of great steakhouses and a lot of great seafood restaurants, but few that do both equally well. And that's kind of where we saw our niche, and hence the
rest is history.
Name.
Well,
now,
wait,
no. Now we should turn to Gary and talk about
Stone
Crab. Well, I do want to
turn to Gary, but what I wanted to say is it's the concept is sort of a throwback to like the 70s. You know, like restaurants used to be like seafood and chops, you know, like there were steak and seafood houses, and you really just don't see that anymore. So don't you feel it's kind of like a throwback to a different time a little bit?
We always feel a tie to classics.
So it definitely has a throwback feel. So, mm-hmm.
Well, in putting together the menu, Gary, talk about how you sort of constructed it and what people can find there.
Well, we have about 76 items on the menu.
So lots to choose from.
I think there's a lot to choose from, plenty mm-hmm. for everybody. But like Mike was saying,
I'm going to be choosing from some of these desserts right now.
Mm-hmm. You know, the seafood prime steak and stone crab, we realized the opportunity and the importance mm-hmm. of these other categories mm-hmm. to build around stone crab, which we knew Chicagoans were aware of and loved. We didn't know, you know, how popular it was going to be, especially in relation to how popular it is in the Miami restaurants. So
right.
we started off with the steak mm-hmm. program, and we built a strong program with a great local company, and we spent a lot of time on the cutting room floor working with the butchers to get our steaks cut how we wanted for the right plate appearance and how that all worked. And then we realized that there was this great opportunity to add another component of mm-hmm. a lot of fresh fish and a lot of other seafood. So mm-hmm. that's where right. that kind of
now I'm going to make you talk about stone crab.
Okay, now let's you can talk about, so now let's stone talk about crab.
Up here we're used to the blue crab.
Right. Yeah.
Comes out of the Chesapeake Bay. Tell them about the difference, and then tell okay. them the thing you told me, which is the coolest thing yet. I didn't realize.
Well, the main thing is with stone crab, we only eat the claw.
Right.
So the cool thing that you're referring to is these are all hand harvested, mm-hmm. and when the crab are brought up in the traps, they twist one claw off and throw the rest of the live crab back in
Does
the water,
grow back?
And it grows back, and that
so
size.
So under the water, there are a lot of one-armed crabs duking it out.
Yeah,
we
always say that the bigger the claw, the smarter the crab,
smarter the
because
crab,
it evaded
right.
a trap longer than the
That's where
one.
The phrase, I'll fight you with one hand behind my back comes
from. Something like that. So it's completely sustainable.
It is sustainable. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, if you look at the Monterey aquarium list, I think stone crab are number one for sustainability. But it takes about a year and a half to grow back to that size that you
okay.
have there, which are large, and they come in several sizes. We serve them by the pound, mm-hmm. and it's depending on how many pieces per pound. So large would be 5 pieces per pound, and that plate that was in front of you was like a little more than a double order. So
yeah, I mean, it's an awful lot of food. Well, so now the crab is found mainly where?
Through the Florida Keys,
okay.
the Gulf. And the species exists all throughout the Gulf, all the way really into Mexico and mm-hmm. even South America. But we get our crab from Joe's in Miami. Mm-hmm. We own a couple of fisheries. And really, the difference of our crab to, because you can get stone crab a lot of places in Florida,
right.
really comes down to the handling and processing and the consistency. And that's why I think, you know, it sets our crab apart from others.
Well, let me tell you. So we have 1 minute left. So can you,
yes.
in 1 minute or less, show us how to actually
yeah.
crack one so, without like getting shell all over it and ruining
it? I'm going to try. So
okay.
the thing is, and one of the differences between stone crab and blue crab, we only eat the claw and mm-hmm. we crack it for you.
Okay.
So it's really, if I do my job right and crack, mm-hmm. so the good. Shell peels away pretty easy.
Right.
Like
that's a selling point right there.
Right.
Yeah, very easy. So it's kind of a little tap. So if I splatter you, I apologize.
Okay.
We give it a little tap to just crack it, mm-hmm. and we get that nice kind of spider web crack. It doesn't shatter the shell.
Okay.
So you don't get those little shell pieces mm-hmm. embedded in the meat. And then the key is the big claw. You hit it right where the pincher is.
Okay.
And you get this beautiful.
You got a nice perfect crack.
Look at that.
Well, you're also using a different kind of hammer. The mallet has
a little metal end, which helps.
Like a meat tenderizer.
And then the way to eat is you hold the two claws,
okay.
and you just twist the one off,
mm-hmm.
and you can see it's already falling apart, or the claws are falling away pretty easily.
Right.
And it comes away pretty easily. So
look at you. You're a professional.
You're a pro.
Now, when you eat them, you have
yes,
to be a little careful. There's this thin membrane through the middle, but it's like eating an artichoke leaf.
Right,
you bite down, and you can just scrape the meat off.
Cool. All right. Well, we are going to be eating stone crabs. This is David
and Nikki. Peanut butter pie, which we'll mention
get you
when we
too.
Come back.
This is David and Nikki Nels with Foodie and the Beast. We'll be right back.
What do you want to be when you're older?
When I'm older, I want to be a singer. That's my goal.
An organizer of like do-gooders.
I want to be a media mogul.
When I'm older, I want to be anything but the one that doesn't fit in, the one that people don't love.
Everyone deserves a dream.
But some of us are depressed.
Anxious.
Angry.
Scared.
Don't feel like ourselves.
If that's you, say something.
Talk to someone. People will listen. Add your voice at OKToTalk.org. OKToTalk.org.
Brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters.
For over a century, Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Washington has served the youth in our nation's capital. The club's new STEAM initiative uses the arts to teach science, technology, engineering, and math. Today, more than ever, we need your support of STEAM. It will encourage our youth to think rather than memorize, create rather than copy, and to be resourceful rather than reserved. So visit boysandgirlsclubs.org. Send a dollar or more as an investment to help us help our kids pick up STEAM. Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Washington, great futures start here.
This message is brought to you by GEICO and Federal News Radio.
This is Mark Amtower. If you're looking for cost-effective and efficient methods for marketing your products or services to the government or to other government contractors, look to LinkedIn. There are over 400,000 members in the D.C. area and more than 92 million nationwide, but only a small percentage actually use it well. I can show you how to leverage LinkedIn in ways that support your marketing, sales, and business development efforts. I do this for large and small companies, and I can do it for you. Drop me a line at mark@federaldirect.net.
GovEvents.com is your one-stop shop for government and military events worldwide. With hundreds of event organizers posting their government and military-related conferences, trade shows, expos, webcasts, and more, you'll save time and energy using GovEvents to find events to attend, exhibit, or sponsor. Search for government and military events by date, location, keyword, organizer, or focus. It's free, so join today. GovEvents.com. That's GovEvents.com.
Welcome back to Fooding the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. We're talking to the guys from the new Joe's Stone Crab, etc. Mm-hmm. down at 15th and H. And before we talk about crabs anymore, mm-hmm. I dug a fork into this peanut butter pie.
Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous.
Holy one right, of those words you can't say on the radio. You're
that.
Talking over me, man.
I know, I can't help it.
Be that. Quiet. And the key lime pie, which I am an expert
classic.
In. I mean,
oh my God.
Nothing like graham crackers, man.
So it's pretty fun how that actually came about. Our whole dessert menu is pie, and the peanut butter pie is really the one that kind of sparked it. We knew we were going to do key lime. Joe's mm-hmm. is famous for key lime. Mm-hmm. And in one of our first trips down to the Keys to visit the fishery and learn about stone crab, we went to this diner down there where they had all these amazing pies. And,
oh my God, that pie is crazy.
Exactly. The peanut butter pie was just so good that with all the great food items that they serve at Joe's and the crab, when we came back to Chicago, the first thing I started working on was peanut butter pie. So mm-hmm. we got the peanut butter pie, and then we figured out another pie. And about two or three pies in, Mr. Melman said, you know, I've always wanted to do a restaurant with a pie dessert menu, with a pie menu, and I think this is it. So we just kept working on it, and we feature 9 pies on the menu, and then we do we also do a monthly charity with our mm-hmm. pie of the month.
Has Richard Melman been on the show? We had to Let Us Entertain You guys on here.
We've had them
on,
well, with Wildfire.
Long time ago.
We've had
Big
a Bowl, couple people.
Wildfire,
yeah,
Monomiga B.
But right. I don't think he's been on.
But is there a chance you could liquefy this and make it so that you could just get it intravenously?
Yes.
That would be nice.
Let's just talk quickly about your apple pie because it's gorgeous. You said there are 16 apples in every pie?
I think it takes
pie.
About 16 apples for every pie.
That's incredible.
Yeah. And you had asked when you first saw it, do we use dried apples?
Because of the way they look. They
look
dehydrated.
It's so full of apples, so much juice.
It's about 5 inches
we
tall.
We toss them in all the cinnamon and vanilla and sugar. And par bake the apples, to kind mm-hmm. of cook them down a little, concentrate them.
I'm
then we
a
pile
sugar
the
high
apples
right now.
On.
Like I'm shaking from the sugar.
I know, and I just smoked an apple with
fork,
joint.
Put the fork down and step away, Nikki.
I'm back in college again. All right, so let's make sure everybody knows
wait,
where.
Before you do that, just pie it forward. How do you do it? How do you participate in it?
Every month, we choose a charity. With our seasonal pie this month, our pie is a chocolate raspberry pie, Valentine's mm-hmm. Day coming up.
Lord.
And then we choose a charity, typically local. I think this month we're participating with Share Our Strength, and we donate $1 from the sale of each pie. So slice of pie for that month. So
pies are going to fly off the shelf. I'm starting a foundation, by the way. Just to,
you can talk about it in your book.
Thank you.
That ought to take a couple of weeks. All right, so I do want to make sure everybody knows where how to find you on the street and on the web so that they can find you for real and enjoy this.
Mm-hmm.
750 15th Street Northwest, 15th and H.
Great.
Excellent. Thank you, guys. Thank you both for coming in and for the education. It was great.
Don't touch those stone crabs.
Yeah. Who's got them over there? Bring them back.
They're all gone already.
No, there's more.
All right. So let's go back to our friends from Quench, Ed and Mike and Matt. Michael, why don't you, Quench has done pretty well in the favorite best of thing. You've only been open, what, about 2 years, year and a half?
Less than 2 years. We opened it's about 18 months, 19 months.
So how'd you get all those accolades?
We can't discuss that.
Yes, you can. Let's hear it.
Both the Chicago guys in town.
You can tell us and then you can kill us. Right.
The Chicago guys will be happy to find that we believe in the vote early, vote often strategy. Last year we won favorite new restaurant in Maryland. And actually we just found out last week that this year we are finalists for favorite best beverage program in the state. We're the only D.C. area establishment nominated. And out of the whole Maryland Restaurant Association, only two or three D.C. area restaurants got nominated at all. 8407 got something. We did.
Right.
So we have.
So what's behind the nomination? What are you guys doing that's different?
We're doing everything different. We have the only real full cocktail program in Montgomery County.
Matt hates the term
mixology, but it means you're not coming in there and getting a bright green apple martini. You're getting drinks where we're making the bitters from scratch, where we're infusing the vodkas from scratch, we're squeezing juices into the drinks. Everything's custom made. We have kumquats. We have purees.
I hear a chef complaining in the corner.
No, it's just, you have to source stuff for this guy. He's always like, oh, Ed, can you get me this? I'm like, yeah, that only exists in Southeast Asia.
But we do it for
them. In July.
It's all right. We'll take the trips that we need to take. We do the R&D. We try a lot of drinks. And Matt's a maestro behind the bar. He does not care for the term mixologist, but he is an artist. So he does great work. And we make great drinks. And now with Ed on board, I think our food is really finally achieved a level of worthiness to the cocktails that we've had.
Well, what were you looking for in the food? I mean, what is Ed bringing to the menu that you were looking for? I know you changed up the burger. I know different things are happening. But, what would you say the additions are to the menu that change it now?
Our menus evolve seasonally by design. So we were planning on doing a shift this time of year anyway. And it fortuitously worked out that we brought Ed on as we were already planning to go to a winter menu. He's sort of upscaled the menu. We consider ourselves, I don't know what the right phrase is, but maybe high-end bar food or modern American comfort food. Or what would you describe us as, Chef?
Modern American high-end bar food.
Modern American high-end bar food. And not just high when we're serving the pop brownies, but high-end in general. So we have a lot of
cops
new...
sitting out front.
That's fine. Applewood, I swear.
And we're going to miss you. Really.
Listen, you have a vested interest in me staying out of jail now.
Yes, we do.
We have other ventures.
Well, full disclosure, Michael's the guy behind our reality TV push.
Exactly.
So Ed brought some great new seafood preparations to the menu. We're doing daily rotating fish of the day. From his work with Marcus at Aquavit, he's got a great touch with seafood, and we serve a lot of it out there in our county. Yeah. And he's a burger guru.
What does that mean? What are you doing to your burger?
Well, no, it's about recognizing, the burger as kind of like the highest form of Americana.
Mm-hmm.
If you approach a burger like you would an altar, that's what I do.
Okay. I'm all about the burger. I love burgers.
It's about everything being in balance.
A lot more people would go to church, actually.
Yeah. If there was a first church of burger, or even the second church of burger, I would be there.
Fifth.
Preaching to the choir. But, it's about all the little touches, making sure there's not too much bread in the bun, making sure that the bun can stand up to the burger, making sure that you've got the correct amount of char on the burger, et cetera. Etc.
Oh, you've seen The King and I.
Yeah.
God.
That's kind of a deep intellectual reference there for those of you in the entertainment business.
All right,
so what are you guys going to pour next?
So the next one, Matt's made a special cocktail for you.
Thank you,
He's
Matt.
He's calling it the Foodie and the Beast Swizzle, and Matt will tell you what goes in it.
All right, cool.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a obscure fruit going on with this one. We're starting with kumquats, as was mentioned earlier. We've also got the star fruit, and as the swizzle, we're using lemongrass. The basic spirits in here are a gin, small batch, out of West Virginia called Smooth Amblers. Oh. I'm also using a little bit of lemon juice. There's some orgeat, which for the layman is a almond-flavored sweetener, non-alcoholic. And to top it all off, we're adding some Saint Germain, which is an elderflower liqueur.
Good Lord.
Oh, it sounds delicious. All right, well, let's get going.
Well, we'll be drinking that. And now up to the mic is an old buddy of ours. Chef Enzo Fargioni. I think we met him. Were you with Roberto Donna when we first met you?
I don't know.
No.
Bad was memory.
I don't know.
You're going to have to write things down. Yeah. Aim for your book.
I don't remember. But, non mi ricordo nulla.
Non mi ricordo. We first met when I was at Teatro Goldoni, and we were doing the chef table.
That's right. You're right.
Correct.
Absolutely right.
19-course chef table.
I remember back then.
Let's talk about you.
That's where we first had the cigar box.
Correct.
But
before we get to this, let's talk about how you got from Torino to here.
Ooh, really?
Yeah, why not?
I don't think we have enough time.
You were born in a log cabin but, in Torino, not exactly. But
well, culinary school in Torino and offered to come to see a different lifestyle in America, in San Diego. Completely a disaster. I got hooked up with Roberto Donna and the newly opened Galileo restaurant in Peace Street, the old one. About 28 years ago, almost, and then things kind of escalated from there. I worked with Roberto about 5 years, then I moved down Donna Della restaurant down the street in Peace Street, and then we came up with the concept of the Radicchio restaurant. We opened 5 of those.
Did we eat at Radicchio?
Of course we did. The one on 17th Street? I love that restaurant.
Yeah, that's where I drove her crazy. Yeah. That's where it first started.
And then went on to also open Barolo.
The original Radicchio was in the Comi space.
Correct. Yes. That was the first location. Then we opened other location in Georgetown, and then in Arlington, and then in Fairfax, and so on. Good times. Difficult, but good times.
Always difficult.
And then we opened Barolo restaurant in Capitol Hill. Which was a fun dining way for me to go back to what I really love to do, and then I decided to we sold everything, and we I moved down to Florida. I opened a first Italian concept Italian concept tapas concept called Atrium, and the first year we won great accolades and so on, and then after that I decided to come back home, and that's when I got hooked up with a gig, a 2 years gig in Teatro Goldoni, and we put it back on the map. And
then you went and did your own.
Then I got fired. then I got fired because they told me, "You're too good. I cannot afford you."
Right.
So I said, "Thank you."
And many of us have been fired for one thing or another.
For being too good.
For being too good. Absolutely. I love that. Yeah.
That's what happened. My first two divorces. I was just too good. They died of exhaustion, the poor kids. Yeah. All right, and so now...
It's so funny.
And now, where's the book? Give me the book. Now you've written this cookbook, which is part personal history.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And obviously part cookbook. Tell us, what drove you to do this?
Long time project. I mean, a long coming, I should say. It's a book that is not your typical cookbook. You don't open a cookbook and you see great glossy pictures and you know, it's a coffee table book. I wanted to write a book where... I really wanted to send a clear message, two different messages. One is my personalized vision of modern Italian cooking, so the interpretation of it. The second was everything that I experienced in my 28 years in America, working, traveling, and having fun with great famous celebrity chefs. Michel Richard, Roberto Donna.
He's no fun. He's no fun.
He's lots of fun.
You know, Robert Irvine. You know, we used to work out together many years ago and so on. And on and on, Todd English and so on, Jean-Louis Paladin, I mean, we can go on and on. So all the great memories about working with these guys and having fun with these guys and culinary trips, it's in this book. And of course, every time chefs get together, married, no married, single, doesn't matter. And we get in a bus, on a train, or in a car to go somewhere else, as soon as we pass city limits, you know, we change.
That's why my wife is not allowed to go on trips with chefs.
Yeah, like, don't ruin it for me.
It's ruined now.
So, but we change, you know, it's not like we're going crazy. It's just
Real persona. You've already comes dug out. The hole. Why pull dirt in over yourself? So, we've got to take a break.
We do. But when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the recipes in your book and some of the great stories in here as well. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We'll be back in just a sec.
Imagine someday is today, on Saturday, March 22nd, 2014. At the annual Leukemia Ball presented by Pharma, featuring a fabulous silent auction and a chance to win one of two Mercedes-Benz automobiles, the Leukemia Ball raises funds for life-saving cancer research and patient programs provided by the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. With music by Huey Lewis and the News and a comedic performance by Ryan Hamilton, guests will enjoy a night to remember. For sponsorship information or to purchase a raffle ticket, visit leukemiaball.org.
This is an important message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Protect yourself against hypothermia and frostbite during cold weather. Wear warm clothing that covers your skin and remove any wet clothing immediately. Limit your time outdoors. Watch for signs of hypothermia and frostbite among elderly adults, babies, people drinking alcohol, and others at risk. Seek immediate medical attention if you suspect someone has hypothermia or frostbite. To learn more, call 1-800-CDC-INFO.
This is Mark Amtower. If you're looking for cost-effective and efficient methods for marketing your products or services to the government or to other government contractors, look to LinkedIn. There are over 400,000 members in the D.C. area and more than 92 million nationwide, but only a small percentage actually use it well. I can show you how to leverage LinkedIn in ways that support your marketing, sales, and business development efforts. I do this for large and small companies, and I can do it for you. Drop me a line at mark@federaldirect.net.
GovEvents.com is your one-stop shop for government and military events worldwide. With hundreds of event organizers posting their government and military-related conferences, trade shows, expos, webcasts, and more, you'll save time and energy using GovEvents to find events to attend, exhibit, or sponsor. Search for government and military events by date, location, keyword, organizer, or focus. It's free, so join today. GovEvents.com. That's GovEvents.com.
We are back on Fooding the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. We're talking to Chef Enzo Fargione, who has just come out with a new book, new cookbook, and sort of life story and raconteuring book, Visual Eats. Talk about modern Italian cuisine. I mean, what's your definition of it? Because I think everybody probably knows traditional.
Well, Italy, you know, Italy and France and Spain have pretty much the oldest cooking style and traditions and so on. And then, of course, there is Asian and so on. You can go on back. But it's very, I'm very, very careful whenever I get inspired to do something new, such as get an old recipe that's been established for many, many years, hundreds of years in Italy, and then I completely destroy it. And I like to kind of put it back together in a modern way, the way I feel it should be delivered and the way I feel the guest is supposed to kind of accept it, you know.
For example, give us some examples of like how you take maybe something that sounds very traditional Italian style and then you rework it or deconstruct it or serve it in a really fascinating way. Tell us about some of those things.
Cigar box. Oh, there are so many things. You know, we want to talk about the cigar box. That's a good example. It's a branzino, a Mediterranean fish, paper thin sliced with a knife, and then dressed in a small little plate with a citrus dressing and garlic chips, scallions, and blood oranges, and fresh porcini mushrooms, fresh morels, and then we put in a cigar box. Mm-hmm. We put a ramekin with smoking apple wood chips in it. Mm-hmm. We close the lid and let us smoke for 4 minutes. When it's presented in front of the guest, you open the lid, and of course, a puff of smoke
comes out. It's
and
very dramatic.
It's a lot of puffs of smoke
beautiful.
Today.
Right, there's
talking.
Lots of smoke in studio today.
Figure that out. The smoke when we crack the stove.
I know, right? Maybe you need some dry ice or something.
You know what? Give each one a joint before.
So you don't only eat with your mouth. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, that cuisine has been evolved. It's been evolving for so many ways, and so it branched down so many different mm-hmm. styles. You don't eat just with your mouth. You mm-hmm. see the food. You get excited about it when you look at it, and then you taste it. And then you can be, of course, presenting in a way that is, you know, you need an architect to actually put your food together in a plate, and people love to see that. It has to be very dramatic. Now this is very competitive.
But is this a cookbook for the experienced home cook and not for the beginner?
Absolutely not. No, I wanted to write a book that you can create great and different recipes and look good and taste good at home. Most of these, many cookbooks nowadays, great chefs, it's all great cookbooks. However, sometimes these cookbooks, you look, open the pages, you see the pictures, say, wow, I don't even know what these ingredients are, and I need this kind of tools I never heard of. You close the book, put it on the shelf, collects dust. Mm-hmm.
We have about 400.
we have about over 800 cookbooks.
There you go.
There's twice as many as, now I'm really depressed.
But I collect them. I love them. I love cookbooks. I go back to them over and over again. I love them.
That's wonderful. But unfortunately, sometimes you just don't open anymore because you get discouraged. Mm-hmm. Now, even though these cookbooks sometimes may come across like, wow, it looks very intricate. You know, can I really do this at home? Yes, you can, because there is an intro for each recipe and why I came up with that and what do you need to execute that kind of recipe. And if there is a strange kind of not very familiar ingredients, we explain where you can actually get the ingredients and what it is and what you can substitute with if you can find that kind of ingredients. So you don't get stuck on a certain, very specific thing.
Tell me what you brought in today.
Today was very, very special day. I couldn't cook any food, but I decided to bring a few little things. Three different kind of spices, let's call it, that I blended my own. Mm-hmm. And they are, of course, in the book. The first one, we have the anise dust, which is a blend of anise, black pepper, garlic, and so many other spices. Mm-hmm. And it's great with seafood. We used to coat the tuna, sear it, and make lollipop out of it with banya cauda sauce. Mm-hmm. The second one is a personal interpretation of let's just go through the one first.
Okay.
It's a salt. It's salt has been kind of flavored with a little bit of curry, a little bit of cumin, and so on. And what we do, we kind of cure the duck breast, just like you would do with a prosciutto. So you can just go ahead and sear the duck breast after 2-3 days, and it really retains not just the salt, but the flavor of it. It's very nice. And the one in the middle, that we go back, is the pastrami, a personal interpretation of the pastrami. So it's not just for beef pastrami.
Right.
What I do, we do a carpaccio of golden and red baby beets, and then we butter poach lobster with this pastrami dust. Ooh. So it really gets nice, warm taste and the flavor. It really is different.
I hate to do this. We're out of time.
I know.
Okay.
But I want to make sure everybody knows what the book is called. Visual Eats, a behind-the-scenes look at modern Italian cuisine by Enzo Fargioni. And we have eaten his food, and it is knockout. Mm-hmm. So you get this book, you're going to knock him out at home. Where do we find the book?
Many bookstores, Amazon.com, Barnes & Nobles, and some book signing and some other gigs going on.
All right, so let Nikki know. She'll post it on the list.
And wonderful. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks so much.
Let's go back to Mike. Are you over there, Bo?
Hi.
Hi. Mike Holstein and Quench. We got about a minute and a half here. So give us the last deal. What, anything special happening at Quench for Super Bowl?
Yeah, we're actually today we're having a charity event for a Montgomery County charity called Nourish Now. They take unused food either from restaurants or wholesalers or even places like Costco and things like that, and distribute them to homeless shelters, families in need, things like that. It's I believe it's $20 to get in. All the money goes to them. We're donating a bunch of free food and a drink ticket for everybody. We have contests, games, food. Fun. It'll be
sounds
good
like our rec room. Jeez.
It's exactly like your rec room. So
we'll be serving the pop brownies today.
The pop brownies, yeah. I mean, it's Seattle versus Denver in the Super Bowl.
Right.
So
it's the Stoner Bowl.
It's the Stoner Bowl.
Right.
So
why are you laughing now? I said that at the beginning. What's the matter with you people?
It's only funny when I say it.
My delivery is so much better than yours.
I'm the comedian here, for God's sake. All right.
Well, afterwards, I would love, after the show, maybe we'll shoot a little video and then post it.
We could take it outside of the studio so we don't melt down the board here.
It's terrible. A cute blonde makes a joke and everybody laughs. Well,
Matt, what are you pouring last? What do you got last for us?
Not so much pouring, but we've got a bottled cocktail that we made over at Quench. It is rum-based, Gosling's rum. There's a lot
can
of
you
winter.
Shake it? Mike is shaking it. Can you shake
you,
it?
You can shake it. There, yeah, go for it.
Okay.
There's a little sediment at the bottom, but you'll want to pop the top. It's ready to go as is. A lot of winter fruit. It's actually a shrub cocktail, which basically means
bring me a shrub.
We sweetened it with sugar applied to vinegar instead of water.
Okay.
It's a great cocktail. I hope everybody enjoys it.
So kind of on the bitter side. Are you doing that at Quench?
Yep.
So are you bottling it there and you're serving
it
in the
bottle? We are bottling it and serving it right at the bar.
And are you doing more drinks like that, or is this just
this is
a
the first
one?
Bottled cocktail we have as of yet, but we plan to do more.
Okay. Oh. Sorry. We're making a bit of a mess in the studio. So.
It's like you're holding a crack pipe, actually.
Michael, why don't you get in front of the mic and tell everybody where they can find Quench and what you guys got going on quickly, because we got to wrap up.
Sure. You find us on Facebook at facebook.com/QuenchNation, on the Twitter at QuenchNation, and at 9712 Treville Gateway Drive in Rockville, Potomac, wherever we are, somewhere.
Whatever that place is called.
And most importantly,
what are we voting for these days?
Yeah,
what do we
have
to vote for?
The nominations come out next week officially. The voting opens next week. We are a favorite beverage program in the state of Maryland. Mostly we're voting to get Foodie and the Beast on TV, though. That's
right.
The real
first
important thing here.
Keep talking, pal.
That's what I'm trying to do.
All right, so I want to thank everybody for coming in today. Mm-hmm. Everything you heard on the show today is just a small portion of what you can find on the list. AreYouOnIt.com, Nikki's website. It's free to subscribe. There are about 35,000 other folks around the area that are on there finding out stuff that you may not be finding out yet, so get there. You can follow Nikki on WTOP every Sunday today at 12:50, 103.5 FM, and Thursdays at what time?
12:10.
12:10. See, she knows. I have no idea.
And do you have more to say?
You can follow her on Twitter.
Okay. Yeah, at Nikki Nellis. You can follow me and find out about everything going on. Now, next week is we are going to be celebrating Valentine's Day in studio because we're so lovely. but we've got Rum is for Lovers and L'Académie de Cuisine is coming in. They're going to do a demo in studio and Entertainment Cruises. They've got a lot of new boats. They got lots of new stuff going on. They're going to come in studio and tell us all about it.
Are we getting
it.
A freebie?
No. You can have a freebie. Damn. You can have it. I'm not going with you.
You're
have a good time.
A cruise?
All right. We want to thank all of our guests for coming in studio today. We had so much fun. Everybody, please have a great Super Bowl and have a delicious week.